I want to thank all the local elected officials, the state legislators, in particular Senator Negron, Representative Harrell, and others up there, Representative Mayfield, that joined us here today. This is a catastrophic situation. I don't know if there's a precedent for this situation anywhere in the country that's ever been faced at this magnitude when it comes to an algae bloom. And so certainly we want to make sure that this doesn't continue to happen. The problem, look, I get people's anger and frustration. My goodness, I mean, when we went down to a homeowner and what a beautiful piece of property, and his backyard, his little beachfront that he has there, his dock area, it smelled and looked like an open sewage pit. And the impact this is going to have on tourism, the impact this is going to have on property values, the impact that it's having on small businesses. I met a captain on a small little sailboat that hasn't been able to go out in 2 weeks. This is the peak season for him. And he's not going to make any money for 2 weeks. Who can sustain that? So this is beyond just an ecological disaster. It's an economic disaster with long-term implications. I'm in favor of answers. I want this problem to be solved. And the fundamental problem is that water, heavy in nutrient, is meeting water also with nutrients. And the combination of those two things in this weather is creating these algae blooms that are having a catastrophic impact. So we need to deal with every aspect of it. We need to deal with the water north of Lake Okeechobee that's coming down from the Kissimmee, the ability to retain more of it, the ability to treat it, so that the water going into the lake is cleaner. We need to deal with water in the lake if that's possible. We need to deal with how much water is released from the lake. We need to deal with where that water is stored as it comes out so that we can have the capability to store more of it and treat more of it. Ultimately, we want to see more of that water in a better condition flowing into the Everglades the way it's supposed to flow. And there are projects in place to do that. And I know the state has stepped up and met its obligations in many of them. It has been difficult to get the federal government to do it. In the 5 years that I've been there, we were able to get the 10-mile creek deauthorization. It's a small piece of the puzzle, but that got done. We were finally able to convince my colleague, the chairman of the committee in Oklahoma, to agree to the Central Everglades Planning Project, which will allow us to move forward on authorizing a lot of the Everglades projects that will help with the treatment and the retention and the natural flow of this water. But I know that all those are long-term projects that take time, and I know none of it provides the sort of immediate relief that people are looking for right now. So in the short term, I think one of the most important things we need to do is work with the Water Management District, and in particular with the Army Corps, to have them re-examine the schedule by which they're releasing water. I believe that based on the improvements that have been made on several portions of the dike, that they are capable of retaining a little bit more water than what they've been doing. And even if it's half a foot more, that can make a big difference. I think that's an important part of it. I congratulate and thank the governor and the state for retaining more water to the north, because that's what's allowed them to stop the flows, or at least slow down the flows that we see now. Potentially ask the Corps in the short term to say, let's not have any more flows for a couple weeks to allow this system to flush itself out. I know that the Corps is focused on preventing a breach of the dike. That's a potential risk. This is a real and present danger that we're facing now. I think there's work to be done. I hope the president will have an emergency declaration, because that will open up the full portfolio of aid that the federal government can provide local businesses and communities that are being impacted by this. I also think it's important to have the Centers for Disease Control or other appropriate health agencies of the federal government to come down and study what are the long-term implications of this algae, of the toxins that it releases, and as it dies off and turns into that disgusting blue and brown film, what does that mean 2 years from now when this stuff gets in the air, when this stuff is embedded in the sand and soil? What does it mean to little kids who dig up that sand and touch it, or to people who are living by it? So all of these things, it's a complex and painful thing to talk about. And it's very difficult to deal with because it doesn't have one singular cause, and it doesn't have one singular project that solves it all. We all wish there was one thing we could do, just one magic thing that we can do. We got to do a lot of magic things, and we've got to commit to doing it as soon as possible so we don't continue to see this. And for this community, you've been hearing this now over and over again. All these officials come down, they say this, and then next year it happens again. I get it. I really, really do. We're going to do everything we can to continue to create a sense of urgency about the need to do stuff now, but also for the future.
A lot of the producers outside, Senator, are blaming you and the governor and the big sugar companies here for this mess. What do you have to say to them? Their kids are in masks out there.
Yeah.
Say they can't even breathe this air.
And I'll tell you that if I believed that the sugar industry was the only contributor to this, then we would do everything possible to address that immediately. Because in the end, but there are multiple contributors to this, and it's not just agriculture. It isn't. There are localized sources, and they've been working hard here to deal with that, and it's difficult to do. I know, because it's costly, but that's a reality. 90% of the water in Lake Okeechobee does not come from the south. It comes from the north, from the Kissimmee Basin. It comes down, and it's bringing nutrients from cattle operations, but also from population centers. And that's 90% of the water that's in the lake. The lake itself has deep embedded historical sediment on the bottom that also has nutrients in it. So there's not just one causation here. That's what I mean. There's multiple causes to this. I understand their frustration. Listen, if I had to wake up every morning and see this garbage in the water, I'd be really angry too. And if there's one person or one industry we could blame, that's a lot easier to do. But I'm telling you that they're not the only ones. The causes of those nutrients come from multiple places, and it includes people living in homes north of the lake. And that's the reality of modern Florida, and we're going to have to deal with that aspect of it as well.
Senator, if someone just received $900,000, over $900,000 from Fanhope Corp, would you be saying that if they weren't a huge campaign donor of yours?
Yes, sir.
Can you say a statement in Spanish for a Hispanic audience?
Yes. Obviamente, esto es una tragedia enorme. Es un impacto ecológico horrible que estamos viendo en esta comunidad de que yo no creo que tenga precedente en la historia de este país. Desafortunadamente, la causa de esto son varias diferentes cosas y es por eso importante tener una serie de proyectos que toque todos esos temas. Y no es fácil, toma tiempo y es costoso, pero hay que hacerlo. Esto no puede seguir repitiéndose porque es devastador para la economía local.
So last time you were here in 2015.
On the West Coast that feel all too often the emphasis is placed over here on the East Coast, yet they're fighting their own battles for brown water.
Correct. And that's one of the problems that we have is as that water is being released, it's going east and west instead of south. And part of it is because the Everglades Restoration Program has not moved forward, largely because of the federal government shortfalls in funding for it. And so as a result, if it can't go south and they don't want to hold it, it's got to go somewhere. And it's going east and it's going west and it's impacting communities. And that's why this needs to be dealt with in a multifaceted way, in a way that allows us to retain more water, have the water that's going into the lake be cleaner, have the water coming out of the lake be cleaner, the ability to hold more water over longer periods of time. All these things have to happen. One of them alone will not be enough.
Senator, last time you were here in 2015, you said you're going to have regular meetings with local officials. You've had one that I know of. Why not have more of those meetings?
We have. We've been in constant contact, both through the staff level and personally, including conference calls that we've done. I don't know the count, but there were several. But more importantly than the meetings, we've actually taken action. One of the top priority items the last time I was here is the deauthorization of the 10 Mile Creek project, and that happened. The second was the Central Everglades Planning Project, which had a major impediment in my colleague from Oklahoma, Jim Inhofe. And over years of working with him, he's finally agreed to move forward. It's now in the water bill in the Senate. But there's more that needs to be done. None of these things alone are satisfactory.
Senator, if I may, millions of Floridians, many dignitaries, organizations like Everglades Foundation, Everglades Trust, Dolphus Tarpon Trust, BullSugar.org, believe that the Southern land purchase in EAA is a big part of SERP and must be done to make SERP work. We need 50,000 acres of that land to make a flowway to get the water out of the lake, a third outlet, to stop the discharges. I'd like to present you with a declaration of your study. Now an Everglades declaration. This is drawn by 7 or 8 leading groups.
Let me just say about the southern
portion.
We'd
like to have you sign that for us.
Well, let me tell you about the southern portion. I'm not against it for purposes of being against it. If in fact the science leads us to believe that it is a major contributor to making things better, I would support it, particularly if it doesn't divert away from the other projects that need to be done as well. That's my biggest concern. My biggest concern right now is we are already struggling to get the money we need for the current project from the federal government. If you add a new project, it either diverts money away or we don't get money for any of it. So I want to see it funded. And if in fact, I get conflicting reports because I have an equal number of scientists that say we're not against the southern land buy, but it's the northern land that we really need because that's where a lot of the water, the nutrients are coming in. 90% of the water in Lake Okeechobee doesn't come from the south, it comes from the north.
Do you believe the southern land buy is essential to SERP and to stopping the discharges?
You know, I think we're going to let the scientists and the people that deal with this make that decision about what the right project priorities need to be. And again, if 90%, all I can tell you is that common sense tells me that if 90% of the water in the lake is coming from the north, that should probably be the first place we focus. But if in fact there's a consensus scientifically that the southern portion is critical as well, I'm not against it if that's what they say. I just don't want to see money diverted from the projects that are already ongoing and the projects that are about to start. If you tell me there's a magic pot of money out there that allows us to put additional funds into doing it all, we can do it all. But I don't want to see the current project stop. So that's the only observation I've made and continue to make.
Senator
Rubio, can you comment about the Amendment 1
money,
please?
You've been in the Senate for 6 years. We have another Florida senator who's been there for decades.
We don't see that funding going up. What needs to happen? What can you do?
And I think
you've touched on,
when I say I'm frustrated with Washington, this is one of the reasons why. We're being impacted by the Zika virus in Florida, and we can't even get that appropriated. It gets mixed up in this partisan battle back and forth. So it is frustrating. You know, in Tallahassee, we used to meet for 60 days. We got a lot of things done in 60 days. In Washington, 60 days is like one day in the real world. And so it's a very difficult process, but we can't give up. We got to continue to push and do the thing. It took me 4 years to get Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma to finally agree to even put the Central Everglades Planning Project in the water bill. It took 4.5 years to get us to that point. That's a lot of work. I know that that's not satisfactory for someone who has a bunch of algae sitting right off their dock, and it's killing their business and the value and property of the value of their property and the local economy, and their kids can't go in the water, and the oysters that they used to grow up cultivating are now been killed off, and fish are dying. And I understand that. I really do. All I can tell you is we're going to continue to work as hard as we can to ensure that those projects that are in the pipeline happen, because they're a critical component of ensuring that we're not having these press conferences every 2 years.
And my understanding is that the governor needs to ask for federal...
First of all, I haven't even discussed that yesterday. Second of all, I'm here. We've been involved in this issue now. We were working on the 10 Mile Creek project when I wasn't running for this or anything else. We got the Central Everglades Planning Project authorized through Jim Inhofe months ago. So we're going to continue to work on this, and people are going to take their political shots because that's what politicians do. But from my mind, I've met and seen people here that are being impacted on a real level, and whether they vote for me or not, like me or not, we're going to continue to work on their behalf and hopefully not have to be coming back here every year with the same problems that you've been facing for too long.
Senator, we have time for one more question.
When you say you're going to continue to work on this, what are you going to do next?
Well, I think
what is the next magic thing everything that needs to happen?
Well, a number of things that can happen immediately. Number one is I hope we can convince the court, perhaps even stop flows for a short period of time to allow water through here to kind of flush itself out. Second is get an emergency declaration from the president so that we can have some more assistance available to local business owners and the local community. Third is to get the CDC or an appropriate healthcare agency at the federal level to come down and do an assessment of the long-term health risk posed by this algae bloom. The fourth thing is we want to continue to move forward to get that water bill passed, so the Central Everglades Planning Project can move forward and some of these key components that we've discussed here today can actually happen.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the governor needs to ask for that emergency declaration, right?
What?
I might be wrong, but it appears to me that the governor needs to ask the federal government for an emergency declaration. Have you talked to Scott?
And I spoke to the governor last night. It was my understanding he intended to do so. I spoke to him yesterday about 5:30 or 6 p.m. Thank you, guys.
Okay.